Connecting now with our good friend, Dr. Fred Brown of Griffin Health. And Dr. Brown, thanks for being here this morning. How you doing?
I'm good. How are you, Melissa?
I'm doing fine, thank you. So I'm hoping, my fingers are crossed, because if not, we're in a little bit of trouble. Did you get the article that I sent over the Labor Day weekend about long haulers?
I did not.
Okay, no worries. I'm going to set it up then real quick because I'm sure you could speak to it. So there was an article that I was reading last week, and it was in regards to people who are active, healthy, in their 30s. They got COVID-19, and we're finding that months later, even though they don't have, let's just say, the flu-like symptoms, the shortness of breath, anything like that, they have these lingering symptoms, like neurological issues, depression, anxiety, forgetting how to do simple tasks like showering, things that you can't see from the naked eye, and doctors can't really figure out exactly what's causing it, but the common denominator, apparently, for these tens of thousands of people in the U.S., in Europe, in other parts of the country, is that they all had COVID. So we're finding that yet another block of people, I'd say another generation of people, they may not be the vulnerable population, but COVID is having these long-term neurological and emotional effects on people. So first and foremost, have you heard anything about this?
So yes, okay. I have, and I can speak about that a little bit. So it's actually interesting, and one of the things about, you know, viral illnesses in particular, something you know, as rapid and as new as COVID-19, you know, there are a small subset of people who could get secondary effects. You know, it's interesting because they're probably not neurologic and more immunologic.
What does that mean?
So what that happens is that your body gets infected by a virus or a bacteria. And then what happens after that is your body then mounts an immune response to it. So it tries to get rid of it, right? Your all your white cells and all your body just tries to eliminate this bacteria or virus. And then sometimes the actual immune system, your immune system, doesn't really shut off. And if it doesn't shut off, it sort of stays at a low level. And it can lead to very similar effects that you're describing, you know, difficulty sleeping, anxiety, just generally feeling unwell. We've seen it in a lot of different viruses, so it's not that surprising that a subset may actually have something like this.
Mm-hmm. But it sounds like a lot of these people are going to their doctors, and even though, like I said, their jarring COVID symptoms are gone, doctors can't really seem to pinpoint, well, you know, if in fact this is COVID-related. Now, it sounds like it is, just because, again, the common denominator seems to be that they all contracted COVID-19 at one point. Is there a chance of, like, recovery, restoring some of those issues, or at least making them better?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Unfortunately, it does take a little bit of time, but we have seen this in multiple other viruses. And again, COVID-19 is so new, mm-hmm. that it's tough to say if it is exactly a correlation. I mean, you think about all the other symptoms that are potentially associated with it. You know, there are other issues associated with the social aspects of COVID-19, the isolation, the mask wearing, the dread, some of the fear that's actually put out there. Those also have a tolling effect on people. So you got to put all those pieces together. I could tell you that from my past experience with people who have an immune type response like this, or even sort of a chronic fatigue type issue, those actually over time do resolve. They get better.
Okay. So you would suggest that if we do have a listener who is in maybe that age range, they had COVID and they find that they're just not the same as they were before they were struck with this, that they should go and really pursue their doctors and make sure they either, you know, what do? They get on medication? Do they go to a therapy? Obviously, it tailors to each situation, but absolutely. I mean, it's worth not like waiting it out at home, I would think.
So I think there's actually two features of this. The first one is that obviously if you have symptoms and they're unexplained, go to your primary care doc, go to your physician and get a full evaluation. You need to make sure that it's not something else that's going on and not something serious. I mean, that's sort of the first and foremost. The second thing is that, you know, if it is deemed to be that this is sort of unexplained or there isn't really sort of something that you can put your finger on, I actually don't recommend, you know, medications to treat something that is necessarily unexplained. interesting enough, it's really about trying to get people back into the same mindset of you know, calmness, eating right, exercising. Those things are really important. And then, you know, proper socialization. And again, even if you know, talking to people and being in groups is helpful, that also is very useful for patients. So I think that's something that we sort of discount. We sometimes look for pills for treatment when really it's the simple things like, you know, making sure that we're getting maybe a little bit more fruits and vegetables in our diets, you know, making sure that we're getting out and walking, making sure that we're not getting sort, you know, depressed from the, you know, now the change in weather and this constant issue of COVID-19 that we keep hearing.
Yeah, makes a lot of sense. So I guess the other thing too that I just wanted to end with Dr. Brown is if you are somebody in that younger age bracket, yes, you may kick COVID-19 quicker. You may not need to have to go to a hospital, but it is still something that you really need to take very seriously. And I know I probably sound like a broken record, but I do find that the teenage to upper 20 age bracket, I don't know if they take COVID-19 as seriously as they probably should, especially now with going back to school and everything. I just want to be sure to just remind folks that this is something they should be taking pretty seriously.
Absolutely. I really appreciate that, Melissa. Yes. I mean, and this was a concern that we had in March and April. We knew this was going to last for a significant period of time, and people are getting sort of mask fatigue. Do we really need to wear these masks? You know, I'm sick of not seeing people. It's a difference. We need to stick it out a little bit longer. You know, the hope of vaccines, the hope of herd immunity are all around the corner. But wearing a mask is really important. If two people wear masks, the likelihood to spread COVID-19 is you know, less than 1%. So again, it's really important that we wear those masks, that we don't get too relaxed, that we're careful around even our coworkers. You know, being in a break room together and everybody having their masks off is actually a good way to transmit COVID-19. And obviously the parties and the frat parties that are continuing to go on that we hear about in the news.
Dr. Fred Brown of Griffin Health, thank you so much for coming on and chatting with us about this. And we'll talk again next week.
My pleasure, Melissa.